your first time, we are so glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn more about how we are church together by taking a look at your bulletin. There are announcements and also a calendar in there about our worship fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any of the questions that you might have. So a few announcements that I have as we get started is it is joyful and sad all at the same time. This morning to have our associate pastor, Katie Stewart, preach her final sermon this morning. And just a reminder, though this is the last time we'll see her in the pulpit, it's not the last time we'll see her for good. We will be celebrating her ministry on April 8th. That's the Sunday after Easter, so please join us so we can say our goodbyes. And also, of course, we're GPC, we'll eat cake. So I would also like to invite you that the other congregation where Katie has been serving as solo pastor, Laurelton Presbyterian Church, they are concluding their time as a congregation. That church will be closing, and we are invited as part of the body of Christ and also this presbytery to celebrate their history. So on 1 to 3, next Sunday, that's Palm Sunday, from 1 to 3, we are invited to be part of that celebration, and you can see an announcement there in your bulletin about that. And next Sunday, we will also begin Holy Week. So take a look at your bulletin. There's great things happening here at GPC, also in the life of the presbytery, specifically through our new mission relationship at Rock Salt Mission Center in the South Wedge. A few other announcements, Larry.
Good morning. I'm Larry Wakeman. Come to announce today that our fourth annual flea market is scheduled for June 2nd, that's Saturday, and there will be further advertisements in your bulletins and so on. At this time, we're just announcing the date, asking for books, potted plants, baked goods, and that kind of thing. There will be sign-ups by the April 29th deadline on the kiosk. If you have any questions or want a registration, please consider being a vendor. See me, and I'll make sure you get that paperwork. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Looking for possible players for the men's softball team. I know it's still winterish outside, but we will start playing in May and hopefully have a few practices in April. So if anybody's interested in playing men's softball, let me know. Thanks.
Good morning. Youth group announcements. Today we are meeting here from 6 to 8 and then go in the altitude. So, junior high, senior high, we'll all be together. There will be pizza if you're not much for jumping. So bring altitude socks if you have them, $15 if you have it, and you absolutely have to have a signed permission slip. So check online and make sure it's either filed already at altitude, if you've been before, they have your permission slip, or make sure your parent fills one out online before you come. Otherwise, you just have to eat pizza and sit at a table. Next week, on Saturday the 24th, we are going to be going to the March for Our Lives downtown. So the youth are leading this event, but you, everybody at GPC, is welcome to come and carpool with us. Meet here in the parking lot at 2:30. We will drive down together, figure out somewhere to park, be there for the march from 3 to 5, and then come back to GPC. Be ready for pickup around 5:30. So please dress warmly. If you want to bring signs, we can do that too. Thank you.
And a reminder for, well, anyone. You don't have to be young to participate in our Easter Lent coloring up here at the table. Those boys are doing such a nice job at demonstrating how it is possible to keep our hands busy and also worship at the same time. What a gift. So let us now prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand as you're comfortable and join me in the call to worship. Watch for God.
In the midst of death, God offers life.
Wait for the Spirit's call.
In the midst of despair, the Spirit offers hope.
Listen for Christ.
In the midst of confusion and uncertainty, Christ offers a new way of seeing things.
God, in your love,
please join me in the prayer of confession. Generous God, we know that the actions that come from selfishness lead to death, but actions that come from the Spirit lead to life and peace. People who are self-centered aren't able to please God, for you aren't self-centered. Help us to choose paths of humility and selfless service to your children. May your grace give us new life and hope. God, in your mercy, transform our lives.
everybody. So this week, you know what I did? I finally saw Coco. Have you guys seen Coco? No? It is delicious. Did you like it? Was it a good movie? You got to see it, Grant. It's a good one. It's a good soundtrack. But you know what I did when I saw Coco? I cried. Did anybody else cry when you saw that movie? No? Really? Man. Every time Pixar gets me, every time I cry. Does anybody else cry at movies? You do? Which movie? Inside Out. Oh, that was all about crying. Yeah. What movie? You don't know? What movie? Snow White. Oh, yeah, that's got some really sad parts. Which one? At The Last Jedi? Yeah. At the... Spoilers. Yeah, that part was really sad. You're right, everyone's seen Star Wars by now. Yeah. And I know, Lily, you cried at Wonder, right? Yeah, we took the youth group to it and we all cried. Do you guys know one time Jesus cried? Probably more than one time, let's be real. But one time, Jesus' friend was very, very, very hurt. He died. So Jesus sat there crying for a long, long time. And sometimes when we're sad, it's okay for us to cry and take time and be sad. Because every time we're sad, God is there with us and sad with us and cries with us. If you had a friend who was sad, what would you do? Comfort them? Yeah, definitely. Let them know they're not alone. That's just what God wants us to do in the church. What would you do? There we go. I bet that'd make people feel better, too. What would you do? Oh, yeah. And Jesus did help his friend. That's really important. You're right. All right. So as we go into Sunday school today, remember that sometimes it's totally okay to be sad and cry. And it's also really good to help other people when they're sad. And you guys can help, right? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for happy things and for people who help us when we are sad. We love you, God. Amen.
The first reading of the word is Ezekiel, verse 1 through 10. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many, very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Lord, the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude.
Second reading is from the Gospel of John, the story of Lazarus. Now, to really tell this story, you need all 45 verses. Since this is my last time preaching here at Gates, I wanted to give you something nice and long to carry. And no, I'm not kidding. Don't worry. I'll be back in worship on Good Friday and April 8th, and I don't want anyone to bring tomatoes to throw at me. So, today's reading is from John 11, verses 1 to 6, 20 to 27, 32 to 44. Listen for God's word to our hearts today. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. When Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her were also weeping. He was greatly disturbed in spirit and greatly moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Friends, this is the word of the Lord for us today. Thanks be to God. Easter is coming, and with it comes a whole lot of snarky questions for the folks at Laurelton's Wednesday night Bible study. Every year, without fail, we'll be talking about the resurrection, and someone just has to ask. So Jesus came back from the dead, walking around, kind of like the Walking Dead. Was Jesus a zombie? At this point in the evening, nothing I say will distract the group from this extremely important question. People are obsessed with zombies. And I know that Easter is coming, so I just wanted to clear this up right now. Jesus was not a zombie because zombies aren't real. I'm sorry. Just so we're all clear, Lazarus did also not become a zombie in today's Bible passage. But he did scare a whole lot of people, so at least they have that in common. Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha. Do you remember them? Mary and Martha were sisters who welcomed Jesus into their home many times. Whenever Jesus needed a place to relax or a friendly meal, he knows he can visit them and be nourished. He's become a family friend around the dinner table. And so when their brother is sick, Mary and Martha know what to do. They send word to Jesus immediately that Lazarus needs his help. But by the time Jesus has wrapped up his ministry and traveled all the way there, Lazarus has passed away. Usually, when friends come to visit you after a family member's death, people are grateful. Mary and Martha are furious. They know that Jesus has the power to heal sickness, that he could have healed their brother. They don't yet understand that Jesus has the power to overcome death. So as far as the two of them are concerned, it's too late for their brother. Martha scolds Jesus for not coming to help quickly enough. And as soon as Mary sees Jesus, she begins sobbing. The sisters are overcome with grief. Now, Jesus knows that this grief is temporary. He knows he has the power to bring Lazarus back from the dead. But when Mary cries, he doesn't tell her to knock it off. Instead, Jesus sees her grief and cries with her. Our Bible passage today says that Jesus began to weep, but the Greek is a lot more specific. Jesus shook and shuddered with sadness. He didn't just mist up a little like grown men are supposed to cry, if they're allowed to cry at all. Instead, he sat right down on the road with Mary and sobbed with her, consumed by grief. Why would Jesus cry so much when he knows that Lazarus is coming back to life? The simple answer is, Jesus cares about us and our grief. To God, all of our problems could look small. After all, God sees all the problems of everyone who ever has been or will be. Fighting, sickness, even death could start to pale a little. But our God isn't distant or removed from the world. Jesus came to earth to experience all of human life right here with us, because God loves us too much to ever stay away. We're invited into relationship with Jesus Christ and with our church family, not just for the good parts of our lives, but also the hard ones. And Jesus is right there with us in our times of loss. He takes our sorrows seriously, just as we're called to take each other's problems seriously, and offer support however we can. Sometimes we forget that it's okay to express our own grief at lost opportunities or lost relationships. We try to stay strong and act like all the problems in our lives are tiny. Sometimes they're not. There's nothing wrong with admitting it. Part of being Christian is having the space in church to be honest, to ourselves and to each other, and then being right there with each other along our way. That's why even when Jesus knew he was going to bring Lazarus back to life, he stopped and wept with Mary. Her brother had been dead for 4 days. Of course she needed to cry. Jesus does not leave us in our grief, even when he knows that new life and good news is right around the corner. God loves us like a parent who can't bear to see their child hurt, even over something small. One day, a child was running down the hall in Sunday school to show his parents his beautiful flower pot that he had decorated for his mom. As he ran, he tripped, and the pot fell and shattered, and there was dirt everywhere. The little boy started to cry, and his dad went and picked him up and said, "It's okay, buddy. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it." And his mom came and held him and said, "Of course it matters." It mattered a lot. That was beautiful. Let's take the pieces and figure out what we can make out of it together. After Jesus and Mary have taken their time grieving, Jesus goes to Lazarus' grave. He convinces Martha and Mary to roll away the stone, even though they don't understand what's happening. And then Jesus asks Lazarus' friends to help unbind him and bring him back into the world. Even today, Christ offers us new life and asks us to get up and follow him. It's our job as a church to help each other move together. Even Lazarus, who was personally brought back from the dead by Jesus, needed some help escaping the trappings of his death. Everyone has baggage that ties us up. We want to grow and change, but we're locked into old ways of living. We may feel trapped by reminders of bad habits or assumptions of the people around us. When our doubts overwhelm us, our church family is here to help us escape those bindings and to come back into the world. We're called to help free each other from self-doubt and to come together with confidence in God's love. It can be hard to hear the story of Lazarus. After all, it is almost a zombie story, and it's very much larger than life. But Lazarus reminds us that no matter what, even with Christ's help, change is hard. Endings of relationships, of traditions, endings of possibilities hurt. And God feels our grief and stays with us in hard times. Without death, there can be no resurrection. Endings are normal and sometimes awful, but what comes next is wonderful. Without change, we can't truly follow God's call. I can say all kinds of nice things about change up here and still not actually enjoy it. This is my last sermon here at Gates. We all know that my move to Iowa is not remotely a life or death situation, even if the dog doesn't know it yet. New ministry here at Gates is the kind of ongoing miracle that keeps happening all the time, and it's going to keep happening. But it still hurts to leave you. And I'm glad we'll have some time to sit with each other in the Holy Spirit and wait a little before the Spirit brings new life and change into our lives. That's what church is all about, to share God's love with each other, and then to help each other push off our worries and walk forward. Just as Mary and Martha and Lazarus shared their lives with Jesus, we come together as a church to share our lives with each other. So come out from wherever you are, whether you are grieving or tangled up or just beginning to want to be free. Know that Christ sees you and loves you and will care for you. Let us praise God for never leaving us, knowing that Jesus came to transform us all. Amen.
Gather in community together to share in the lives of each other and in the life of God And that is a constant, ongoing conversation in praise and in prayer. If you have a prayer of joy or a prayer of concern you'd like to share, just raise your hand and usher will bring a microphone to you. Let us know who you are and how we can be in prayer together. It's a quiet praying day today. That's all right. There we go. Kathy, I'd just like to give a prayer of thanks for Katie Sturt. I just love her, and I'm going to miss her. Her sermons. And her. Amen. Thanks be to God. You are loved. We will miss you. Rona, you had a prayer as well.
Good morning, everybody. A blessed day. But our friend Howard Falke is home, but has a lot of issues. And the hardest one is he can no longer drive. And that is tough. So all of us will have to be aware of helping other friends. God bless each and every one.
Amen. Prayers for Howard. Keisha.
Morning. Keisha Binkle. Just prayers, continued prayers for the family of Tradion Rowe. And also for not just the teachers and staff and administrators of School 12, but the whole city school district. It's really been a tough week at work. So prayers.
Continued prayers for the city school district, for Trayvon and his family, and all those affected by his death. We also have the prayers to call your attention to, just in case you don't read over them. Prayers for Steve Christensen recovering from knee surgery, and continued prayers for Marge and Wendell, for Peter, Judy Glukowski. And our prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for learning something new. Amen. Prayers of joy for a dad's birthday, for being able to stay home with grandma. Prayers that we have a visitor today. Prayers of sadness for mom being out of town this week. Prayers of joy for Riverdance classes, for going to altitude, time with Katie. Joys for writing a book and chorus concerts. This is a major prayer of joy for getting my own room, whoever that is. Prayers of joy for volleyball tournaments, St. Patrick's Day parades, and green dogs. Prayers of concern for a friend with a grandfather who passed away. For a cousin, great prayer of joy for a cousin turning two. For birthday parties. And prayers, dear God, for being frustrated. O God, who always listens to us and who breathes new life into us, call us forward to resurrection. We are surrounded by a world of pain, a world of death, despair, and dry bones. A world where we lose hope in our structures, ourselves. We pray for this world in need of your word and for all the people in it, for those who are willing to sacrifice and give so much. We pray for those who are willing to lead. And this includes, O God, our children, those who take courage, being willing to stand up, to be a voice for the hope. Peace that we need. Together we pray, God, in your grace, transform the world. We are surrounded by people, O God, who are struggling, people unable to see your life past their tears, and we pray for this world in need of your healing presence. Those who are imprisoned or alone, those who are ill or infirm, those who are grieving. God, in your grace, transform the world. Where we are overcome by grief, terrified of the stink of death, and often too dumbfounded to call forth life in your name, we pray for your people, O God, your church. We pray for the courage not just to follow you to death, but to follow you to the new creation. God, in your grace, transform the world. Call us, O God, to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray using the words together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, let us now receive the morning offering.
May they be used to pass on the promise of hope, of peace, of community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen.
Thank you.
serve your neighbor. Know that in every moment, the good times and the bad ones, Christ's love will be there for you, and God's blessing will rest with you and bring you forward into new life. Friends, God transforms our faith.